snap. Another episode of the Youth Ministry Booster Podcast. My name is Zach Workin, hanging out in the garage with my best friend,
Chad Higgins.
Hey guys and gals, we wanted to start, so if you tuned in last time, we talked about failure. So this time, Chad advised that we should share some of our own personal failings. Okay, one of the things in youth ministry that is an ongoing conversation is the nature of fun. And good fun is hard to find. Let's be honest. Good fun is hard to come by. Planning great fun is big work. And sometimes we plan big fun and it goes big wrong. And it leaves people feeling big sad. So today's episode, we were going to talk about some of the fun we planned that was not had, and then maybe talk to a tool that might help plan some more fun for you. So Chad Higgins, if you would like to go first, what is the greatest, either in a most meaningful or revealing way, failure of a game, organized play in your personal tenure of youth ministry?
So the worst game, the biggest fail I ever was a part of.
Okay.
Was very early student ministry.
As it often is.
And I will preface with, this was like early 2000s.
Okay.
Which I don't know, shouldn't make it right, but it somehow does in my mind.
Sometimes it feels different. There are some things that just kind of land different of a certain age.
Student ministry has evolved and changed. So one of the things that we would do is we always wanted our interns to have more stage time and responsibility.
Yeah.
And so this was the last time I allowed our interns to plan a game that I went into the night blind on. There was just too many other things going on. So I was like, you guys take care of the games.
Did they have a track record of having a couple good ones before this?
Yeah, track record was solid up until this point. Okay. But this was such a, in my mind,
but not after this,
blunder that I was like, okay, we're not doing that anymore. We'll at least run the games by me.
Yeah. Try them at home first. It's a great way to experiment on your own kids.
So I was on stage for this game.
Okay.
I was not leading it. I was just supposed to be a helper.
Okay. And a helper you were.
This was the game. Oh, and it makes my stomach queasy thinking about it, because this was a game I would, spoiler alert, I threw up on stage Wednesday night.
Not playing it.
Not playing.
Just observing it.
The game was this. Two students had two cups with a line on the cup, each cup. So there was like a fill line.
So glad this is before lunch.
On each cup.
Yeah.
And they had to run into the crowd. And the first student that got enough spit in the cup that it crossed the line won. Oh. And then the two students come running up on stage to show me that their like cup is full. Oh, dude. And it was just like, yes, right. It was, they didn't have to do anything with the cup. They just showed me. It got you, didn't it?
Can't imagine it.
And so anyways, they come running up with an audience of spit. And I was just like, what are we doing with our life? And who is responsible?
About to perform some miracles. If anybody's suffering from loss of sight, we might have the cure.
Well, based off of the color, there were some sinus infections going around. And I was beside myself, and I was like, what are we doing?
I've never known of a youth minister to admit it's on flu strain.
It was so bad. I just remember standing on the stage being like, I'm going to kill these interns.
I don't want to know how they got
it. It was
there.
My fault.
Oh, my gosh.
It was my fault. I should have known.
Yeah.
Should have asked.
Interns that are dating, swapping spit for mono. Oh, my gosh. So mine was my own fault, but it wasn't because I didn't think it through. It was because they took me up on it.
On it, okay.
So I historically am kind of anti-food games.
Yeah.
Because they just all – I was the victim of a food game that went wrong. We had a food game where we had to dig out lifesavers from a big plate of flour.
Oh.
And I almost choked to death
as
a student. And so I was like – I mean, flour gets cakey. And so if you're like trying to like blow and like pick and all that moisture just becomes like a cake ball. And so did not make it. And so I was like, I think I'm going to swear off food games.
Yeah.
But this is like 14 years ago, long time ago, again, early 20s. We had a Wednesday night on April 1st.
Mm.
And so I was like, well, that's a historical moment.
Yeah.
And so we dubbed it Fool's Night.
Okay.
And so for several weeks ahead of time, we said, come this Wednesday, it's Fool's Night. All fools go. Like, it was just like, like overselling, like, hey, everybody, it's going to be foolish.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when they came in the door, everything was like, the music was bad. The lights were off. Like, I had made them all like paper triangle hats with the printout fool or like, I'm a fool on top of it. And we're like, oh, we're going to break into some foolish teams. And we had a guy's team and a girl's team. And we had a big banquet table set up. And I had like cloths over stuff. I said, we're going to do what Zach thinks is foolish. And we're going to play food games. It's going to be kind of relay down. So it was like person one to two to three to four all the way to the end. And it was just like questionable food things. Like, so there was like some hot peppers they probably shouldn't have ate as fast as they did, but they did. There was some like meats that were cooked by a local market, but like not the cut of meat you were familiar with, like maybe some cow tongue. It's like safe, but also like, ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, ugh. And then there was some like, you know, some juice boxes from brands you didn't recognize. And at the very end, like the anchor leg was, it was a big tall thing because I had found 2 liters of pineapple Fanta, which, I mean, Fanta by itself, but pineapple, what a treat.
Right, dude.
And so they're going down the line again. I'm like, this is foolish. Again, I'm saying this is foolish. They're wearing hats that say fool on it because the young youth minister mind was like, I'm going to prove a point that we'll do foolish things if we have an audience. And the young lady was refusing to lose, downed a 2 liter of pineapple Fanta so fast that I think she almost passed out. So we had like our nurse volunteer, like keep an eye on her the rest of the night. Cause she was looking like eyes were starting to cross. Cause I don't think that much pineapple Fanta is supposed to hit your kidneys at once.
Okay.
And so like, I think I made kids sick, like real sick. I remember my sister was in the group at the time because she's younger than me, and like she ate one of the peppers. I remember seeing like her lip be blue and quivery, and thinking like, you know, maybe we shouldn't have done this or whatever.
It was foolish.
It was foolish, but that was the point. But I think the lesson learned for me is that like, they trust you. maybe they should. I don't know. But sometimes you make a plan and then God opens a window.
All right. So we're going to do something different.
We're actually going to plan some games, but not with
audio. In the moment.
In the moment right now. This is live recording.
But planning them a little bit different than we normally would.
Yeah.
And we are going to leverage
some technology.
Artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And we're going to see how well it does.
Planning a game.
Could it do? And we'll evaluate, do we think these are good youth ministry games or not?
Maybe some tweaks
Maybe
or whatever.
You even take them and play them.
Yeah.
But we're going to use ChatGPT here.
4.0, you're on premium.
I'm not using my premium on this.
You don't use your premium
one.
For it? Okay, all right.
Well. But we're going to walk through this process together.
Yep.
Of even giving it the inputs, like what inputs do we want to give?
Well, that matters. The recipe matters.
And we're going to ask for three games.
That's for three games. Three games.
And then we'll kind of read the explanation of the games.
Yeah.
And determine
how well it did.
Yeah. And if we would make any like tweaks to it or whatever, and how we would play these games. So we have no idea. This is just blank at this point.
Blank screen. Here we go.
So let's talk about how what do we input on this?
So I always like to tell it what to do. So be a game designer. I always want to tell it what role to function in. So be a game designer.
So I'm going to say we need a student ministry game.
A student ministry game for teenagers. Give it an audience for teenagers.
For teenagers.
Ages 13 to 18. and then you need to give it a group size. And I think that's one of the things that you'll want to make sure
to 18
and adjust for your own plans.
Group. So wait, hold on. Are we then, are we asking for a game for everybody or an upfront game?
So I think that's part of the question.
I think we want an upfront game.
Okay. Okay. For students 13 to 18 to be played by.
We want a game that would be played up front, with six kids.
With six students.
The game needs to be fun to watch, which I'm going to pause right there.
Okay.
That is my number one thing that I'll tell.
The axiom of truth for Chad Higgins.
Every youth pastor when it comes to games.
That is the defining mark.
The game doesn't have to be the most fun to be played.
Right.
It has to be the most fun to watch.
Yes.
Unless it's a crowd game.
Right.
And then the opposite is true.
Right.
It needs to be fun to play. It doesn't have to be fun to watch.
Right, right.
The reason it has to be fun to watch is because the majority of your students are not playing the game. They're watching the game.
Right.
And so you want the game to be fun to be watched.
Which is often why people default to a game like a food game, because watching someone try to choke a banana out of a pantyhose is horrible and don't do it. But it creates a crowd moment, even though it creates an uncomfortable moment for the person playing. Right.
Okay, we need a student ministry game for teenagers ages 13 to 18.
Yeah.
We want a game that would be played up front with six students.
Yes.
The game needs to be fun to watch.
Yes. Supplies, you're going to instruct it for what supplies we have available? With minimal supplies?
Because
it always wants to know what it has to work with.
Supplies that can be found at Walmart.
Yep.
Under $25.
Perfect.
Make the game unique and do we want silly?
And silly, yeah.
Silly.
Yeah, I think the ways you can create the modifiers, the audience, the silly, the time limit.
The game needs to be able to play in less than 7 minutes.
7 minutes. Great.
Anything else?
Let's fire it off and see what we got.
Give me three
examples.
Game ideas. Send. Come on, AI. They're super fast.
Yeah, see what's got. Usually it's pretty fast. Usually we'll probably get a couple that are good.
All right.
Game number one, Chad Higgins.
Some of these you've already thought about. Pretty common. Oh, wait, this one has a different.
Do you have a fun name?
Hold on. This one has a little bit different twist than I've ever seen it. Balloon pop relay.
Okay.
We've all seen it.
We love a cheap balloon game.
Supplies needed. Balloon.
Yep. Affordable.
String. Easy. And stopwatch.
Okay.
But I'm going to save the other element till the end.
Okay.
Inflate the balloons.
Yeah.
Tie a string.
Yeah.
To each of the balloons and then to their ankle.
Yep.
Select six participants. Pair them up.
Yeah.
Blindfold one person.
Oh.
And then the other one.
Blind pop?
Holds the string.
Whoa.
Okay. So you got the pairs. That's interesting.
Okay. So you're pairing off the competitors.
Okay. And then the.
So it's not a free for all.
The blindfolded person must guide their non-blindfolded partner who holds the pin to pop their balloon without using their hands.
Oh, we're pin popping?
So you've got one kid with a weapon.
Blindfolded.
Okay.
Sharp object blindfolded. Great, great.
And they have to pop the balloon of the other person.
Okay.
Okay. But then here's the other element.
Ooh, what's the unique modifier?
A helium tank.
Oh.
So the balloon is floating. So it's eye level.
blindfolded eye level sharp objects. I don't know, ChatGPT.
I don't hate it.
I don't know. I don't know. Piercing. Yeah, yeah. Foolish. I don't know. We'll see.
No, I kind of like it.
Poking eye level. Well, all right. I think
depending on where you put it, all those kind of things. Here's the thing. I've seen this game played a lot where you put it around your ankle. It's like dragging on the ground and everybody stomps.
Yeah, it's like King of the Hill where you're trying to protect yourself.
Double, like a blindfolded, trying to pop it. I think you could probably remove the pin.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to find the balloon to pop.
There's a trust game there. Yeah.
I would probably play it to where I like the idea of balloons are in the room.
Yes.
You have person on the stage.
Yes.
Blindfolded partner.
Yes.
Three different color balloons.
Trying to find all their balloons.
They find their balloons.
Or the other two colors.
Yeah.
And they gotta, it's like a, maybe everybody's, okay, so level up. Everybody in the audience gets to play. Everybody in the audience is given a balloon of one of three colors. And so they've got a balloon. And so now you're sending out blindfolded agents that are trying to pop balloon, listening to the direction of their partner. So I like, again, I think having everybody involved, everybody has a balloon, everybody's contributing, and they either get to blow it up because that helps save you time because they're all blowing up a balloon, and they either get to hold it, toss it, or whatever. Okay, balloon pop relay. I like the combative element of it. That's good. That's good. Okay, thanks, ChatGPT.
Okay, this one.
Game number two.
This is where AI messes up.
Okay.
This is actually fantastic. I'm so glad that this one popped up because it makes no sense whatsoever.
It's just too much going on.
Fruit Ninja Challenge.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, like the app. Great. An app-based game.
Yeah, well, cultural tie.
It's good. That's good. It's relevant. It's relevant. Okay, cool, cool, cool. The kids love the Fruit Ninja. That's great.
It's like AI. It's... I feel like AI was just like, what do you bastards do? We all think it's through physics. Okay. Okay. Here's for a challenge. Supplies needed. Foam noodles.
Sure.
Okay. Pull noodles.
Got them.
Tape.
Okay.
Various fruits. Example, watermelon, cantaloupe, oranges.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Now, here's where the game goes horribly
wrong.
Fresh
produce. Okay.
Attach pieces of fruit securely to the top of the pool noodle. So imagine you got a pool noodle.
Watermelon. Just whipping it around.
How much tape is required to strap a watermelon?
What do we do after we get? Are we trying to hit people with the fruit?
Divide the six participants into two teams or three. On go, each team must take turns trying to slice their fruit in midair using the pool.
I don't know if the physics on that one works.
Dude, how do you slice a watermelon that's taped to your noodle?
Well, you're slicing somebody else's. That's I think you're holding up a watermelon and they're trying to slice it with their pool noodle. I think that's the play. I like the idea of a fruit ninja game. I like the idea of a pool noodle sword.
Okay, hold on.
We're gonna make it better.
We're gonna play a game.
Let's make it better.
Zach, work it.
Yeah.
You have just played this game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did it go well? Or
Well, it went exactly the way you thought it would go. Now, you have the parent meeting.
Yes.
And I want you to look at your camera, and I want you to pretend that you're at the parent meeting explaining why some child got hit with a watermelon at the end of a pool noodle.
Hey, moms and dads. No. Thanks for coming out.
Thanks for coming.
It was a little bit, this meeting's unplanned. but you being here, it means the world to Karen and I. Sometimes you try to make a kid's dream a reality, and you turn a video game into a real game. And that's not what happened. Thank you for, I'd like to thank Ron for being there to catch the pieces. Susan, thank you for picking out the seeds. Listen, sometimes you buy a fruit basket, and when someone's going to get well, in this case, they're going to have to get well because of the fruit basket. And wow. Yeah, I don't know. That's I don't know what the hope is there. Like, just tossing fruit. Well, there you go.
Slicing them with
a pool noodle. That's the ChatGPT, because the ChatGPT doesn't have a brain.
Right.
It's assimilating information, and so it's assimilating that Fruit Ninja is a popular app game with teenagers, and that pool noodles look like swords.
Yeah.
When played with, often youth ministers often play them.
Well, there's
as swords.
Probably so many games online with pool noodles.
The pool noodle swords. There's who have pool noodle joust or, you know, combat or whatever. And, you know, fruit is always a fun David Gallagher edition. I don't know. There's something there with fruit and whatever, but maybe not the actual slicing of the fruit. Yikes. You had an organ number three.
I'm just trying to think of is there a game that could you turn that into like a decent game? That's too much. All right.
Well, okay. No, you would just turn it into a game where you had like foam balls, like foam or like dodgeball balls. And then like you throw them at students. They try to like bat them out of the air or whatever. I mean, you could make it a thing, but the slicing of fruit.
I feel like the explosion of fruit though. Real fruit getting dropped, is fun to watch.
Yeah, if you're playing outside,
reason that David Gallagher
made a living off of smashing watermelon with a sledgehammer.
Dude, so maybe that's it.
Maybe it's just the Gallagher game. Are you just smashing watermelons? Maybe there's something there.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you right now, you smash a couple watermelons on a Wednesday night. That's okay. Fun to watch.
So maybe instead of Fruit Ninja, it's like Fruit Lumberjack. And so everybody shows up in their flannel. And so then you're having kids take turns, like dressed up, goggles on, who can smash the fruit for the most distance.
Oh, distance fruit smash.
So you get a couple watermelons, put them on stage, and have like a delegate from, so have your six that represent your different.
That's an outside game.
That's a great outside game.
You're moving everybody outside.
Outside, you put down drop cloths. And so that's the game you can do before your next big Wet and Wild, whatever. Yeah. Okay. There's something there. I don't know if it's Fruit Ninja Indoors though. All right, game number three, what do you got? Is this weird?
Okay.
Has it gotten weird?
Okay, this is interesting. Human bowling.
Okay.
So your six participants are actually going against your full crowd.
Oh, I like that.
Which is stage versus audience.
That's fun. Yeah, that's a fun little like diversion.
This one you would definitely need some room. So okay. We didn't. I guess we said up front, but anyways.
Yeah.
Supplies
up front of the bowling alley.
Inflatable or plastic bowling pins. Okay. So like the little Fisher Price bowling
little
pins.
Kit, yep.
Like soft squishy balls.
Okay.
And a smooth surface.
Okay.
So gym would be great for this.
Concrete floor. Yeah.
You set up the plastic bowling pins on one end.
Okay.
And then the six participants are human bowling balls.
Okay.
But they're not being thrown at the pins. Here's the difference. The remaining teenager takes turns rolling the soft balls while the bowling balls stand in a straight line holding hands.
Okay, Red Rover style.
So they're trying to stop the actual like balls from hitting the pins.
Like a bumper.
But they're like a straight line.
Okay.
And so the goal is, I guess you have the two teams. So 3 and 3 trying to stop the crowd from hitting their pins. the team that has the most pins standing at the end of 7 minutes wins.
Okay.
That's actually could be a really
that
fun
could be
game.
Fun. That could be fun.
So if you had like dodgeballs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you set up the pins in the back and yeah. then you had teams of three.
Can they move?
Yes, they move, but they have to stay locked.
Okay, okay.
So they're like trying to like get in front of the balls.
Okay.
But what it doesn't say here, being the game experts.
Yes.
Is you would want a line on the back to yeah. where kids can't just stand over the pins.
Right, right, right.
They've got to have some distance.
There's a zone. There's a certain zone that can
there's
be
a zone,
in.
Okay. And then your throwers can't pass a certain.
Sure, 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 sure.
That's actually a pretty fun game, I think. Well, it's not a great upfront game, but it's a great game if you've got a gym or an area to play.
If you've got a gym or a long floor, which I think for a lot of folks, that's often the like, how do we maximize the space? Because I do think one of the things that for a lot of game goers, people that are designing, making, choosing games, we default into an upfront, like, two-person heads-up trivia because we're unsure of how to explore the space, right? Like, games are either basketball or they're trivia. And I think any way that we can make it, like, it's when they're physical but silly fun, I think it's so beneficial because it doesn't clearly draw the line between, like nerd or athlete. Because there's nobody who's, like, there's going to be somebody who's really good at that game that's surprising, right? Yeah. Like they're going to have a dexterity or a reflex that's not going to be like congruent with, well, I'm an athlete, so I'm really good at this or whatever. Because it's not a trained like, well, he plays basketball, so he's obviously good or whatever. So, okay. So human bowling, but yeah.
Those
okay.
are our three
okay.
games.
Okay. So balloon pop relay, fruit ninja with modifications, and human bowling. All right. Well, we did it. We did it, everybody. Games for your next month, all mapped out just like that.
Please send us photos of Fruit Ninja.
Yeah, we'll drop some links and graphics for these games for you to try out your next weekend. Yeah, you get that Fruit Ninja going. We'll go ahead and help prepare like the public service announcement for you. You know, making the apology to the parents' speech that their kid decked with a watermelon, cantaloupe to the head, like
dude,
melon to the melon.
A cantaloupe tied to the top of a pool noodle just makes me laugh.
I mean, there's something there. There really is something there. So,
all right.
Well, thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Youth Ministry Booster Podcast. If you have more great ideas for games or things that we should be using or doing, please let us know. Send us an email at booster@youthministrybooster.com or podcast@youthministrybooster.com or send us a DM on Facebook or Instagram at Youth Ministry Booster. We'd love to hear how your ideas of fun and engaging and utilizing your space to connect with students is happening this week in your ministry.